Welcome to Sword Radio. This is your host, Buffy St. John. Today's program is about betrayal. Let's go to an example. She put on her makeup and gave herself a once-over last look in the mirror before she walked out the door. She looked like everyone else. No one would really know the horror of her life, the abuse, the violence, and finally her poor choices and the consequences that followed. She was healing, finally healing. The wounds were deep and very severe, and there were scars, some so deep that you could see the mangled flesh thick and layered, as if the surgeon didn't know what he was doing. How could he? He did the best he could with what was left. But he said it would heal nicely, it would just take time. Other cuts still had a small flesh-colored bandage on them, and they were healing well. They were superficial. Those, when asked, could be explained away casually or easily, but she wasn't ready to show anyone her deeper wounds and the scar tissue. She went out the door to the car on her way to church. She arrived as the service was beginning and rushed to her seat, hoping not to attract attention. She waved to a few people who acknowledged her as she settled in to allow the music of worship to wash over and through her. Oh, what a relief! If she could only bottle this up and take it with her, she thought. She hadn't been attending this church very long. She had heard about Jesus as a child and had actually accepted Christ into her heart at 8 years old. The life that transpired seemed to wipe away every semblance of hope, trust, and faith. She had been abused by those she had trusted and depended upon to care for her. Even as a tender, innocent child, the horror was too much to bear, and later in life found herself not remembering bits and pieces of her young life. Here she was in church again, after all that time. Her mind went back to the contradiction of her earlier life as a child. It was as if a war over her life was being waged and the evil side seemed to be winning. She finally had to make a run for it, and at 16 she ran away from it all into the very mouth of a greater hell. It seemed like yesterday, but so long ago. She was brought back to her surroundings as the worship team began to sing another song. How she loved that song! As time went by, she started to volunteer for several things as the church needs arose, and she had the time or skills necessary. She desperately wanted to put the past behind her and face some of her fears and demons, so she sought out a Christian counselor. 3 months went by, and she felt confident enough to join a newly formed Bible study women's group. "This is a safe place, and everything that is said or shared here is confidential," the group leader said. It was a ground rule that was a foundation of safety. It took a while before she could open up, and when she did, she felt as a newborn calf trying out its legs for the first time. Tentatively, she felt compelled to share some of her secrets, her struggles, and current temptations with her sisters in Christ. "Wow, the sky didn't fall," she thought. The next week, she opened up a bit more, and she felt lighter than she had ever felt in her entire life. She had arrived. This is church. A week after the last time she shared, she went to service as usual and noticed a few more people than usual looking at her and turning their heads quickly away. She instinctively felt vulnerable, naked. She chided herself that she was paranoid. This was church, for crying out loud, and she was in a safe place. She must have imagined it. Then came the request to meet with the pastor after service. Bottom line? One of the women in the group was married to a deacon, and she just thought that the things shared in the group were too juicy not to share with her husband. In his self-righteousness, and with a legalistic mind, mounted a crusade against her with such vengeance that rocked her world. She was stripped naked, and the gnarled flesh of her wounds, deformed and ugly, were laid bare before all to see. The horror, her only safe Jesus' place, was trampled and uprooted once again. But this time, she wasn't a little innocent child. She was an adult seeking refuge. Accusations, name-calling, criticism, people she didn't know looked at her with such loathing she felt as if they wanted to kill her. She ran. Tears streamed down her face as she cried out, "Why? Why? The only thing I had was Jesus, and now he's got dirt and ugliness all over him. He was my only hope." The desperation hit with a fierceness that took her breath away and seemed to weigh more than the earth itself. Every waking moment was a battle of the will against the mind. She would go to work and someone from the church would call her office to accuse her of being an unworthy sinner. She'd come home and a knock on the door would find someone else reminding her that she was no good, notes taped to her door, letters in her mailbox. The agony became too much until one day she found herself meticulously cleaning her house and putting everything in order. She had a plan of escape, and it included a 9mm pistol. She looked at its blackness, and it seemed to relate to her emptiness, the coldness and blackness her life had become. She put the pistol to her temple as she made her last phone call. Before she could hear the first ring, the voice on the other end of the phone answered and said, "I did not go toe-to-toe with the devil to lose you now. Have you asked God to forgive you of your sins in the past?" "Yes," she replied. "Well, honey, he's forgiven you, and that is all that counts. Tell everyone else to go to hell." She put down the gun and hung up the phone. Thus began the resurrection, after being crucified by those who should love and care for her, the church. Why does this happen? Why are so many people crucified by those that should extend grace, mercy, and compassion? Why is the face of Jesus so marred by the behavior of fellow Christians? Without sounding too psychological here, there is an inherent desire in us humans to be a bit better, a bit higher, or a bit, you can fill in the blank, than others. We are quick to defend ourselves and make ourselves understood because, frankly, no one gets you, and you've got to make sure that they have it all right. There is this inexplicable switch that turns on when we perceive our rights or ourselves in some way, shape, or form threatened, confronted, mistaken, that does not allow us to shut up and ponder the words or situation, but rather we're quick to the defense, the clarification, if you will, for those of you who seem perfect. Unfortunately, this hinders one from the goal. It stunts our growth, we repeat the same mistakes, and it keeps us from achieving what we should at the perfect time. No one can fully understand the heart of another. Only God can. We need to stop being so concerned about how others view us or get us and be more concerned about how we are with Christ. He understands perfectly. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 22, it states, "Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly." Let me ask you, have you ever tried to make yourself understood to just be looked at with a blank stare and the realization that the other person is not getting it? So you try again in a different manner with the same results. Let me give you some advice. Let it go. Only God can give them the understanding. Stop trying to accomplish that which is quite obvious you can't. When we are betrayed, the pain runs very deep. Everything inside you is repulsed. Your emotions explode. Shock hits. You can't believe it. You try to deny it, but there it is, betrayal. You don't know what to think, feel, or how you should act, or what you should say. Presently, anger steps in, and you want to retaliate. Your mind is a whirl trying to figure out what you did to cause this to happen. Maybe you should have, or maybe you could have, or said, or done. The list can go on. You cry, and finally you ask why. And you cry some more, and then you cry some more. Some people never get out of the anger and retaliation. Others, the cry and the why. They go to God, some accusatorily and others pleadingly, as they whine and complain, then pick up their pain and act it out again, reliving the betrayal. But there are those who surrender, those who dare not breathe on their own, those who throw themselves at his feet and cry out, "If you don't help me, the pain will kill me. I need your help to get on through. You alone can heal my heart. You alone can take this pain from me or use it. You alone can turn it all for good, as your word says in Romans 8:28, for you work all things together for good to them who love the Lord, to those who are called according to your purpose. I may not understand why or how, but you, my God, know." We can read scriptures, all the scriptures, about vengeance and fantasize about what God could or should do and if we had the power, but in reality, that's your pain and anger talking. I'm not saying that this is easy. And yes, you will go through all the steps of emotions. But I implore you, turn to the only help you can receive, and that is in Christ alone. He, too, knows the pain and agony of betrayal. Remember Judas? He also knows only too well the crucifixion. and by the Father who sent him, yet he endured it, and as a result we benefit. There would not have been salvation if there were no crucifixion. Your betrayal is an opportunity to surrender to him, an opportunity to give it as a sacrifice, an opportunity to heal, grow, and bless others. Let it go and reap the benefits that await you on the other side. I have. Let's pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I don't know why I had to go through all of that, the pain, the betrayal, the loss, but you know. For I believe that you are totally in control and you have deemed it necessary, just as the Father deemed it necessary for the Son. Give me the strength to endure, heal, grow, and lay it at the altar as a sacrifice of praise. May I be poured out for others to find strength, healing, growth, and you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's all the time we have. If this has blessed you, please send me an email to buffy@swordradio.com. For more teachings and helps, be sure to go to www.declaretheword.com. Until next time.